I'd like to say hi to everybody that may be online as well. Hopefully your weather, wherever you are, is as gorgeous as the weather here in Atlanta this afternoon, this Sabbath. It certainly is a blessing to have God's Sabbath, and special blessing for our family because, or for my wife and I, because our whole family is in town. So it's always enjoyable to have them being in town and also joining us today. Well, tomorrow we observe the Feast of Pentecost, a day that pictures God sharing his Holy Spirit with his chosen people. The scriptures tell us the Spirit gives us the power to overcome, the power to change our thoughts, our actions, the power that allows us to accomplish the work that God has called us to do. For some, it's difficult to understand how the power of God's Holy Spirit will work with them. When we experience a particularly violent storm, the thunder is crashing, the lightning is flashing, it fills the sky. We're able to sense that power of God because we know that he created that. Or maybe some in the audience today have experienced hurricanes, tornadoes, and they have the power of the wind. If we have not experienced these firsthand, most of us have seen it on television. They've seen the destruction, and we have understand the devastating power of nature. To some extent, the power of the wind can provide us a sense of the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, there's a scripture in Acts chapter 2 that likens the wind to the Holy Spirit. And we can see the effect of wind much like the Holy Spirit, but we cannot see the wind just like we cannot see the Holy Spirit. So how can we truly understand the divine nature of God and the power that he is able to provide us in the Holy Spirit? How can we understand that? How can we grasp that power? How can we understand something that we can't see? You know, the spirit world is difficult for many of us to understand, to grasp. We're physical beings, and we gain understanding through the sense of touch, of feel, taste, smell, hearing. But therefore, if we have something that we're able to touch, God's Holy Spirit does not allow us to sense, to use these five senses to provide us with an understanding of how that Spirit works in us. And when we don't understand how something works, it's hard for us to grasp it and to believe it. If we have something that we are able to touch, or we have something that it gives us greater confidence that that item exists and the power of what that of the characteristics of that item. Therefore, if we were able to physically touch the Holy Spirit or physically sense the Holy Spirit, we would have greater confidence that God will be able to accomplish the works in us through his Holy Spirit. The greater the number of senses we can employ in learning about something, the more real that object becomes to us, and the greater our appreciation for that object. Take the example of experiencing a fine bourbon. You go, oh, that's a strange analogy. So you could see the picture of a George T. Stagg 2019 bottle online. You might even see it maybe in the liquor store. But unless you're able to use more senses than just the sense of sight, you would have very little appreciation for what's in the bottle. In fact, for all we know, it could just be colored water. It's only when we're able to grasp the bottle, remove the cork, pour a small amount into a whiskey glass, give the glass a few swirls, let that bourbon coat the glass, and then as you bring it to the nose, you get that, begin to observe the rich, or you look at that in your rich, light caramel color. You raise the glass towards you, and you sense the aromas of cinnamon, caramel, and cherries wafting gently to your nose. And as the bourbon touches the tongue, you begin to taste the complexities of that bourbon. The spice and the rich vanilla flavors come through. And then as the bourbon lingers on your tongue, The heat subsides, and you begin to sense the cinnamon aftertaste. Now you have tasted that bourbon. All of the senses have been pulled into it, and you can appreciate it. And it's only when you're able to experience the bourbon with all of the multiple senses that you're fully able to appreciate the uncut, unfiltered, and intense flavor of this fine bourbon. So you're asking, what does bourbon have to do with appreciating the power of God's Holy Spirit? The point is that we're unable to fully appreciate and understand something that we cannot experience by our physical senses. God's Holy Spirit is its spirit. It's not something we can touch, taste, feel. It's not something we hear, at least not physically, audibly. Therefore, we cannot experience it with those. So what can we do to overcome the shortcoming of the human mind to fully understand God's Holy Spirit and how it can have an impact on us, on our life? Yeah, the Bible says we should have faith, but faith needs a foundation upon which it is based. You know, in my life, when someone has asked me to have faith, I find it much easier to have faith in the past if the person has accomplished something, if that person demonstrates an ability to get things done. In other words, they have a track record of accomplishing what they're saying they're going to do. Likewise, my faith in God that he will deliver on the promises that he has made to each of us is increased each time I read the Bible, what it says that he has promised to do, and we then see that he has done it. And just prior to his crucifixion, Christ promised his disciples that the Father would send them the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And then we see in Acts chapter 2, where those in attendance on the Feast of Pentecost were filled with God's Holy Spirit. So what can we do to help us believe in the power of God's Holy Spirit? That Spirit can work in each one of us. If we fully believe in the power of God's Spirit, it will provide us with a greater confidence to go about our daily lives knowing that we can call on God when we have doubts or fears or just simply to help us obey His Word in our daily lives. So today I'd like to take a look at the scriptures that talk about the power of God's Spirit. While we may not be able to see or touch or smell God's Holy Spirit, we can use our physical senses to experience the product of God's Holy Spirit. And I trust that by looking at these scriptures, it will increase our faith and therefore our belief in the power of the Holy Spirit and what he can do for each one of us in our lives. Now, there's actually a few people in the Bible that have physically felt God's Holy Spirit on their life and a touch. Let's turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 26. And it says, "And now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when he saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. And then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest and the Lord God who gave him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever and his kingdom there will be no end.'" So Mary had never been with a man. Verse 34, "And Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man? I've not been with a man. How could I be of child or have this child?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. So now we see that Mary felt, she understood, she perceived. For 9 months, she knew that what that Holy Spirit had done. That's, boy, if we could all have that experience, we probably would have a different understanding and a much clearer understanding of how God's Holy Spirit could work with us. But God's Holy Spirit was able to plant that seed that became Jesus Christ, our Savior, in the flesh. And we have another person here, actually. In verse 36, it says, "And now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now with the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." And then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word." And the angel departed. But then it's interesting. Actually, Elizabeth experienced something that the Holy Spirit impacted her as well. If you would turn to verse 39. And it says, "And now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit caused the child in her womb to move, to leap. And we see there are times when God allows some people to feel the physical presence of God's Holy Spirit. But most of us have never felt the physical presence. So how can we increase that Holy Spirit? The power of God is in, how can we feel that? How can we gain that understanding, the same as Mary and Elizabeth was? I think one of the best ways for me is to look at the creation. Because if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, we'll go right back to the very beginning. Genesis 1:1. And it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Tohu and bohu." There was just, it was shapeless. There was nothing there. "And darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." The Spirit of God, the power of God is all that was hovering over this shapeless matter of mass. "And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day." We see here that God's Spirit was the power that was to create light. You know, we always think it, when things are dark, that isn't the absolute darkness. But this was, there was no light. And we'll find later that this wasn't the bright sun, but it must have been just a fainter light that allowed the day and night. So I'd like to go through this creation week and use that as an example of why, by going through this, understanding God's great power, how it's that Spirit can create all that he has created. He certainly can do what he promises with his Spirit, what he shares with his people. So if we go through here, he says, and then in verse 6, he said, "And then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and so the evening and the morning were the second day." So here, God was hovering over this. And we see that God creates the heaven and the atmosphere around the face of the earth. So when we look up into the heavens at night, we see a cloud-filled sky. We can physically sense with our eyes. We can see what God has created. We know that God's Spirit, as he said here, was what the power that was used to create that. And then verse 9, it says, "And then the Lord said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good." So he began to shape the topography of this shapeless, void object that was void and darkness, without form and darkness, but he was beginning to give shape. So he needed to have dry land, because he had plans for what he's going to do after this. He needed dry land. He needed the oceans. He needed to set this up. And then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and a field tree, and a fruit tree that yields fruit, according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed, according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself, according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. So it's so easy to read through this and go, okay, he created vegetation. But you have to think, it was a lot more than that. The power of God's Holy Spirit created the reproductive power. It talks about the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit, so it could be reproduced, so it could grow. It was not just creating an inanimate object. It was not just raising the land and creating the seas, the mass of water. But now, as his creation week progresses, and he's going through this, he sees where he has to produce it. And it's interesting because it's a progressive creation. He had to create the light as he was going through here. He said, God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament in the heavens, and divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens, and to give light on the earth." And it was so. And then God made two great lights. So he made a little light before, but now he's making the great lights to give light on the earth and to rule over the... God said in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, in verse 18, and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the night from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and so the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So now the vegetation can grow because the sun has been created by God. And so now the vegetation can grow. It's designed that it's going to multiply. It's going to reproduce. And then in verse 20 it says, "And then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth, across the face of the firmament of the heavens. And so God created great sea creatures, and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind." So again, we see a structure, an order, a very precise pattern, because everything reproduces according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. In verse 22, "And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And so the evening and the morning were the fifth day." Again, he creates the birds to reproduce birds. He creates the sea creatures to reproduce the sea creatures. But everything that God does is in an order, in a progression. And then in verse 24, it says, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." So everything that he did was in order. And every step of the way, his Holy Spirit, the power, the very essence, the very power of God, we see that every day when we go out and we see the waters, we see the animals, we see the vegetation, we see the trees. We see the fruit trees bearing fruit. Every one of those things was designed by God's creative ability, by God's Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that he said that he will give to us. And then in verse 26 it said, "And then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." And it's interesting where they use the word "our." I think that indicates that God, the Father, God, the Son, were in total agreement that they were going to create a very special being, a human. They were going to create man, and it would be in the image of the God family. And it says, "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And then in verse 27, and it says, "And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. And then God blessed him, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Again, an order, a structure. Man is now given dominion. God's creation was performed in a progressive manner. Each day, the matter was created became more complex until it reached a peak on day 6 when he created man. You know, we get a little more detail in the creation of man in Genesis chapter 2. And let's just look at verse 7. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." He didn't break that detail out for any of the other creation. You know, science bears out that the makeup of the human body contains the very same elements and minerals as in the soil. God was able to take this very basic matter, create the human body, and all the functions required to sustain life and reproduce. And this being was also capable of human thought and reasoning. There was something that was very special, very different about the created being he called man. It had an essence of the very power of that spirit. God breathed a spirit into man that made him different than the other creatures. You know, just as God, through his Holy Spirit, was able to implant in the womb of Mary the seed that would develop and be born as our Savior, he was able to breathe the spirit into the nostril of the man that would become a living being with unique qualities. The created being was going to be a representative of God on earth. It was created in his likeness. Yes, physical, not spirit yet, but in his likeness. None of the other creatures had those physical qualities. And yet there was a different, maybe a spirit quality in the mind of the man. The created being was going to be a representative of God on earth, and man would have dominion over the rest of the creation. He would rule over the rest of the created beings, animals, that God had at that time. So God not only created all things on earth and heaven, he also created the order in which they would be created and the order of how they would be ruled. Well, let's look at a few more scriptures that give details on the extent of God's power that's deployed through his Holy Spirit. We know that creation happened, but what about maintaining, sustaining? If you would turn with me to Psalms chapter 33, we'll look at verses 8 and 9. Psalms chapter 33, starting in verse 8. And it says, here the psalmist says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." It says, verse 9, "For he spoke and it was done." When God created that created week, that's all he had to do. The power of God's Holy Spirit, all he had to do was speak and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. What power in the Word of God, in the Spirit. He commanded and all things stood fast. Do we ever wonder if God's Holy Spirit which he has promised to each one of us, has the ability to direct our life, to lead us in the right way, to comfort us, to be with us when we need help to make a decision. As we think about the creation, do we recognize that it was God's Spirit that allowed him to speak, and it was done? This is the same Holy Spirit that God promises to each one of us. Let's look at Psalms chapter 104, the 104th Psalm. We'll begin in verse 1. Psalm 104, verse 1. Now the heading of this section here says, "Praise to the Sovereign Lord for his creation and providence." Providence referring to God's protective care of all that he has created by his spiritual power, by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of God, is what is that providence. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain." I won't read the entire chapter, but this is an excellent scripture to read when we may doubt God's Spirit has a power to work with us, within us personally. The chapter goes beyond just the creation week, but helps us to understand that God's hand is involved in everything that takes place on the earth. God is involved in the maintenance of his creation. It will be from the very creation week until he returns to this earth. Let's look at, drop down to verse 24, and it says, "O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions." Manifold means many are your works. Our God Almighty is, in his awesome wisdom, he's made all things, and his possessions are what he gives to us as his blessing. And he shares those blessings with each of us. You know, we admire the wisdom of God that it talks about here, God's wisdom in the progression of creation. First, a faint light to take away the darkness. And finally, the creation of man. Man created in the image of God and filled with a special human spirit essence. Every object created in an order that made sense. Vegetation, sun to make sure it grows. The vegetation had to become before the animals, so the animals had something to feed on. You know, and finally, man was created to rule over and have dominion over those. What a marvelous creation, and all that was done by the Spirit of, this all was done by the Spirit of God. And while we may not be able to sense God's Holy Spirit with our physical senses, like Mary and Elizabeth did, we are able to touch, taste, smell, hear, and see the physical universe and everything in that God created with his Spirit, with his power. You know, there's one other area I'd like to look at, that just to take it from the human body and just to look at one of the marvelous abilities of the human body. You know, I'd like to discuss a current topic that should help us understand the awesome wisdom and the creative power of God's Holy Spirit. The human immune system. You know, a few weeks ago, I thought it was, I'd take some time to look at read about the mechanisms that are used in the various vaccines. And there's basically four major vaccines, but there's two different mechanisms. Many of you probably know that. The Pfizer and Moderna vaccines use a synthetic messenger RNA. And it's amazing that man's ability at the subcellular level can create the synthetic messenger RNA that tells the body how to make the spike protein that stimulates the immune system. The Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca, they use a more traditional vaccine. It's called a carrier vaccine that uses an inactive adenovirus to carry that spike protein into the body. But in both cases, the body ends up with this spike protein that is similar, is what the key characteristic of, you've seen the drawings of the COVID vaccine, the COVID spike protein on the virus. So in all cases, the spike protein, whether manufactured by the body or whether introduced to the body by the vaccine, would do no good if it wasn't how God created the system to react to that spike protein. That spike protein triggers the human immune system response, it mounts a defense, creating antibodies, which then protect against the actual COVID-19 infection. But none of these vaccines would work if it were not for the awesome immune system that God created. Kind of reminds me of the story of the dialogue between God and the scientist. You know, the scientist says to God, "Lord, we don't need you anymore. Science has figured out a way to create life out of nothing. In other words, we can do now what you did in the beginning." "Oh, is that so?" God says, "Tell me more." "Well," says the scientist, "we can take dirt and form it and breathe life into it." "Well, that's interesting. Show me." So the scientist bends down to the earth and starts to mold the soil. And God goes, "Oh, no, no." He says, "Get your own soil." So, you know, it's kind of like, wow, we create this awesome vaccine. And it was created so quickly. But God could say, "Well, get your own antibodies," right? It doesn't work. God still depends on the marvelous immune system of the body. You know, when I was reading through this, I ran upon a story in American Scientific, Scientific American. You know, and most of us are aware that the COVID-19 vaccines were developed in a very rapid time. But now there are concerns about the variants and whether or not the vaccines will be effective against these variants, or how long the vaccine effectiveness will last if the variants continue to progress. You know, and some we've heard that the variants are more infectious, more transmissible than the original strain. So when I was reading about the mechanism of the COVID vaccine, I came across a very interesting article in Scientific American titled, "Your Immune System Evolves to Fight Coronavirus Variants." This is a relatively recent, March 31st, 2021, and it was written by Monique Brulé. And in the article, the author discusses research that's being conducted by immunologists at the Rockefeller University and at the University of Washington. And it's talking about the body's ability to develop antibodies to fend off the effects of COVID-19. And I thought it was extremely interesting, talking about how God's awesome creative power. And it says, by studying the blood of COVID survivors, immunologists are learning that some of our immune system cells, which remember past infections and react to them, might have their own ability to change, countering mutations in the virus. The writer quotes Michael Nusenweig, an immunologist at the Rockefeller University, and he says, quote, "Essentially, the immune system is trying to get ahead of the virus," end quote. And then Marion Pepper, an immunologist at the University of Washington, who is not involved in Nusenweig's research, says, quote, "It's really elegant mechanism that we've evolved, basically to be able to handle things like variants," unquote. You know, in Nusenweig's research, he found that after an infection, some of the cells that were deployed to fight off the infection, they just hang around in the body, just happen to hang around in the body, in the lymph nodes, and they maintain the ability to recognize the virus. And if a person gets infected a second time, memory B cells activate, quickly produce antibodies, and block the virus from creating a second infection. How amazing. God created this body to defend itself. The Rockefeller scientists created variants in a lab that contained mutated spike proteins that were different from the original COVID virus. So they created a mutation, right, of the spike protein. And they found that the cells produced antibodies that glommed onto the mutated spike proteins, even though they were different. And by glomming onto it, it means that they surrounded it, they encapsulated it, and they were able to make it ineffective, and basically the body would dispose of it. They explained the phenomenon by a process called somatic hypermutation. It says it's one of the reasons your immune system can make up to 1 quintillion distinct antibodies despite the human genome only containing about 20,000 or so genes. When I heard quintillion, I go, I've heard that word before, but I really don't know how many zeros are on quintillion. Well, it's 10 to the 18th power, which is 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, basically a designer antibody for anything that comes its way. The article made it very clear that the human body has an awesome capacity to defend itself against disease. While they attribute its capacity to evolving of the human body, we know that God created this amazing capacity of the immune system. No matter what variant strains are thrown at it, it's able to recognize a variant and then design and manufacture a precise antibody for that variant. Don't have to worry about guessing. You know, remember they used to talk about the flu vaccine? Well, it's 40% effective. It's 60% effective. We thought we knew what variant was going to be this week, this year, but we didn't get it right. Don't have to worry about that. The body assesses the invading virus on the spot and designs a customized antibody precisely for the occasion. The God that designed this amazing mechanism is the creator we worship, and the God that promises to provide us with his Holy Spirit to guide and direct us in our walk with God. Just think, if God can create this intricate system in our physical bodies, he certainly can use his Spirit to guide and direct our lives. After all, he breathed life into the nostrils of man with that Spirit essence. Let's turn now, as we conclude, to John chapter 14, where we see the promise. In John chapter 14, Christ is talking. We'll look at verse 1 just to pick up the context here. And he says, and Christ is talking to the disciples just before his crucifixion. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." So it talks about that he's going to leave them. And then Thomas in verse 5 said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" We're lost without you. How can we know if you're leaving us? How can we know the way? In verse 6, he goes, and Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And then if you drop down to verse 12, he says, "And most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." And then he says, "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." So we can have that confidence that we can ask in that name. But here's the important part where he promises that helper, the Holy Spirit. In verse 15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you." That word helper is the Greek word parakletos. It means an advocate. It means a consoler, a comforter, an intercessor. The Holy Spirit is that intercessor that sits at God's right hand, pleading with the Father to pardon our sins and our shortcomings. As a comforter and consoler, the Holy Spirit is there for us at all times to help us through trials, through those difficult times when we need someone with whom we can share our thoughts and our feelings. That Spirit being that we may not be able to touch or feel or see, we can know because we've seen His creation. We know what that Spirit, what the power of God has done. We know that the very power of God to guide us through our physical life on earth is the same one, that same power that created this marvelous creation, that maintains it, that has created the human body. You know, we may not be like Mary and feel the kicking fetus in our womb, but we're able to more fully grasp the power of God and the reach of His Holy Spirit when we meditate on His creation. We see His greatness. We see His power through that. When we go to the ocean and see the vast expanse of water, or when we look up in the sky at the day and see the beautiful cloud formations that God created, or the starry heavens at night that has more stars than we can possibly count, that He created every one of them. And the Scripture says He has every one of them named. We're able to experience through the physical senses the awesome power of God's Holy Spirit. God wants us to experience the presence of His Holy Spirit in each of us, each and every day. May the force be with you.